Good day. Welcome. Good morning. This is Paula Salatini, the conference coordinator. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit teleconference. As you know, to all participants, that you will be in monitor mode during the conference. If you need some kind of assistance, please dial star followed by zero. Do not forget that later on we will have a question and answer session. Now let me introduce your host, Mr. Andres Conesa, who is General Director of Economic Policy, and Mr. Alonso Garcia, General Director of Public Credit. Okay, go on please.
First, I will make a brief description of the recent economic developments. Second, I will describe the main results regarding public finances. And then I will deal with Mr. Alonso García Tanez, who will discuss with you the main public debt results. After that, we will proceed with a question and answer section. In terms of our macroeconomic update, I would like to highlight the following points. The available indicators we have for economic activity suggest that the economy registered a moderate expansion during the second half of last year. Nevertheless, the current expansion phase of the cycle remains fragile and uneven among the different economic sectors. In particular, the rate of growth of the sectors more closely linked to external markets has been weaker than that of those sectors associated to domestic sources of demand. The labor market also showed a moderate recovery. At the end of 2002, the total number of workers affiliated to the Mexican Social Security Institute, a measure of formal employment, increased by close to 62,000 workers with respect to December of 2001. On the inflation front, the annual change in the CPI stood at 5.7% at the end of last year. That is 1.3 percentage points higher than in 2001. However, it is important to emphasize that core inflation, which measures inflationary pressures over the medium term more accurately, recorded an annual increase of 3.77%, which is 1.3% lower than the equivalent of 2001. During last year, the government commitment to strict fiscal discipline and the prudent management of monetary policy translated into an economic environment of stability and certainty, characterized by low domestic interest rates. On the external sector front, the trade deficit for the last quarter of 2002 amounted to $3.5 billion. That is 18% lower than the one registered in the same period of 2001. In this context, the accumulated trade deficit for 2002 amounted to $8 billion. This is 20% lower than the one in 2001. And similarly, the non-oil trade deficit was 1.2 percentage points lower than the amount registered during 2001. With regards to public finances, I would like to stress the following points. First, that the public sector overall balance registered a deficit of 75.6 billion pesos. This figure is higher than the original target of 40 billion pesos due to the accounting adjustment associated with the liquidation of Banco Galia. Excluding this accounting adjustment, the overall budget deficit for 2002 amounted to 37.67 billion pesos. This is 2.5 billion pesos lower than the original target approved by Congress for the year. I would like to highlight that the closure of Banco Rural and the creation of the new Financiera Rural represents a very important structural reform, both in terms of public finances and in terms of the financial system. On the one hand, this measure strengthens the rural financial system and enhances the government support for rural development by establishing a transparent and efficient financial intermediation scheme. On the other, this measure permanently solves the total fiscal problem generated by Banco Rural's operation. I would also like to highlight that even though these operations have an impact on the public sector deficit of around 38 billion pesos, they do not have an impact on the public sector borrowing requirements, since they represent only a change in the registration status of public sector liabilities. Let me go further on this point. In order to implement these measures, the federal government registered additional expenditures of 48.9 billion pesos in the following way. 37.9 of those were directed to cover the liabilities of Plan Rural. These operations translate into an increase of federal government debt that is fully compensated by a reduction in net indebtedness from development banks. Thus, these do not have an impact on the PSBR. Then, the difference, the 10.9 billion pesos, which were allocated to the initial capital contribution for the new entity, the Financiera Rural, were covered with non-recurrent revenues derived from resources recovered from the SAP 92, the SAP of Entaido, following the measure approved by Congress. As a result, the public sector deficit for 2002, including the operation, the accounting adjustment of the operation of Plan Rural, amounted to 1.24% of GDP. If we exclude this operation, the public sector deficit was 0.60% of GDP, 0.6. Regarding the PSBR, as of the end of 2002, they amounted to 2.6% of GDP. That is half a point of GDP, 0.5, lower than the original program. Now, going into some details about public sector revenues and spending, first, revenues increased 4% in real terms during last year. This is very favorable considering that the economy practically did not grow last year. Within budgetary revenues, non-oil tax revenues increased 3.5%, while oil-related revenues grew 0.8%. Despite these favorable results, overall public sector revenues were 16.7 billion pesos lower than the amount projected in the revenue law for 2002. This result was due to an overestimation of revenues associated with the fiscal measures approved by Congress at the end of 2001 that was partially offset with other sources of revenue. In particular, non-oil tax revenues were 63 billion pesos lower than originally estimated. This shortfall was compensated partially by higher oil-related revenues in 13.6 billion, by higher revenues from public entities under direct budgetary control of 14.5 billion, and by additional non-tax revenues of the federal government worth 18.6 billion pesos. On the expenditure side, programmable expenditures excluding Bandural's operation grew 4.1% in real annual terms. Now, within non-programmable expenditures, public sector financing costs were 9.7% lower in real terms than in 2001, reflecting both lower levels of domestic and international interest rates. Now, let me turn now the presentation to my colleague Alonso García Tamés, who will discuss with you the main results on public debt. Thank you.
Thank you all for attending this conference call. I will make some comments on public debt policy. I will divide my comments on three parts. I will start by talking about the total public debt, and then I will go into the external debt policy and finalize with the internal debt policy. And afterwards, we will be happy to take some questions. Let me start by saying that at the end of last year, Mexico's total net public sector debt amounted to 25.2 percentage points of GDP. That is an increase of 1.8 percentage points with respect to the figure that was observed at the end of the year 2001. The increase was largely due to the 12.8% nominal depreciation of the peso that was observed during the year. This translated into an increase of 0.5 percentage points of GDP in net public sector external debt. If we were to eliminate this effect, net public sector external debt as a percentage of GDP would have declined 0.95 percentage points. student debt, saying that during the year 2002, the federal government's external debt policy was directed towards achieving two goals. One, funding the external debt maturities for the year, and second, conducting liability management transactions in order to generate net present value savings and to improve the profile of the external debt. The operations conducted were made possible by Mexico's continued access to the international capital markets and permitted the federal government to diversify its investor base, reduce the financing cost, and extend its maturity profile. The outstanding amount of net public sector external debt at the end of December of last year was $75.9 billion. That is $711 million lower than the level observed at the end of the previous year. This result was attributable to a decrease in net external indebtedness for $3.2 billion, upward accounting adjustments for $1.7 billion, and a decline in assets for $809 million. Among the external debt transactions that took place in the fourth quarter of last year, it is worth highlighting the placement of $750 million in international capital markets. This operation was completed through the reopening of the 30-year global bond that was originally issued in August of the previous year, and that is bearing a coupon of 8.3% annual. With this transaction, the government continued to extend the average maturity of its debt and increase the liquidity of the long end of its dollar yield curve. Let me turn now to the domestic debt policy implemented during the year 2002. During that year, net public sector domestic debt increased 1.3 percentage points of GDP, mainly as a result, as was the case in previous years, of the government choosing to meet its financing needs through domestic bond borrowings in order to increase the debt of the domestic market and extend the average maturity of domestic government securities. Net domestic indebtedness of the federal government increased by 135.5 billion pesos during the year, which is a figure consistent with the modifications to the revenue law for the year 2002, which were approved by Congress in December of that same year. Net domestic debt of the federal government amounted to 821 billion pesos, which is 130 billion pesos higher than the level registered at the end of 2001. As has been the case for some years now, before starting this first quarter of 2003, we announced in December the program of government securities option, which aims at gradually increasing the average of the maturity of public sector domestic debt. In particular, in the program, we announced that we would be reducing the minimum amount to be optioned on the 28-day CETES, and that we would be issuing, increase the minimum amount of the 91 and 108-day CETES to be issued, and also on all the maturities of the fixed rate bonds, that is the 3, 5, 7, and 10-year fixed rate bonds that we will be issuing, and also on the bonds that we will be issuing during the quarter. Just to end with these comments, at the end of last year, the average maturity of the federal government outstanding domestic bonds was 68 days longer than the average maturity recorded at the end of 2001, that is to reach 860 days. And with this, I will conclude my comments, and we can now turn to the question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Okay, let me open the question and answer session. If someone has a question or comment, please dial star followed by one. Okay, I repeat, if someone has a question, please dial star followed by the number one. Go on, Mr. Matias, Silvani, please.
Yes, hi, thanks. First of all, thanks for the call. The question has to do with the total debt, public debt, including off-budget liabilities. was there any increase in any of the budget stock debt, which led to the rise from about 40% to 42% or 43% of GDP at the end of last year?
Mr. Julio, le va a dejar su cuestión en Mr. Gamera de Conflict Local.
Yes, thank you for the call. Just once you have any additional information on what GDP growth was for the fourth quarter of last year, maybe you have some sort of estimate for GDP for the whole year of 2002. And if part of your question is more in regards to, you mentioned that that you made up for the normal tax revenue shortfall with increasing revenues in public entities under the public budgetary control, and also through non-tax revenues of the federal government. Can you give me more details on where that those additional revenues came from? Like in the case of public entities under budgetary control, was that Pemex or others like the CFE? And finally, on the non-tax revenue side, where did the money come from? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. We only have information, available information is as of November. The monthly GDP, the measure of monthly GDP, the IGAE, has been released. So we still have to wait for December and not for the end of the year figure for the fourth quarter GDP. So we only have estimates. We are expecting growth for the fourth quarter, slightly higher than 2%, which, if that materializes, we mean growth for the year of something in the neighborhood of 1%, probably slightly higher, 1.1, 1.2. In terms of revenue of public sectors under direct budgetary control, the increase I mentioned during the presentation does not include Pemex, because that's included in oil-related revenues. Thus, CFE, for example, registered higher revenue of an amount close to 6.2 billion pesos. The Mexican Social Security Institute has higher revenue of close to 2.5 billion pesos. So, and those two plus Lucifuerza plus Capuche plus the rest of the entities under direct budgetary control add to higher revenue of 14.5
billion pesos, and again, that does not include Cemex. With respect to the non-tax revenue, the higher non-tax revenue, the 18.5, has to do with, first, with the recovery of revenue from the measured approved by Congress of that revenue that was in the SAR 92 account of the Social Security Reform of 92. That was around 10 billion pesos, sorry. And also we have higher non-recurrent revenue from the proceeds from the sale of our shares in Bancomer, also from the sale of our insurance agency, recovery from the oil stabilization fund. All in all, non-recurrent revenue for 2002 was 63 billion pesos, and that compares with the original program of 50 billion pesos. So we have 13 additional non-recurrent revenue, and that explains the bulk of the result that you mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Delgado. Okay, Dr. Lina of American Chase has a question. Go on, please.
Good morning. Just a couple of clarifications. When you break out the percentage of the net public sector debt between foreign and domestic, what did it come out to? Is the first question. The second question is, could you please explain why the public sector borrowing requirement was a half a percentage point less than originally programmed? Was that because of Pemex and energy projects that weren't made under the de-rated scheme? Thank you.
Yes, domestic public sector debt as a percentage of GDP is 12.9% at the end of 2002, and external debt as a percentage of GDP is 12.3%. In terms of the PSVR, the original program had a PSVR of 3.1, and the final result is 2.6. First, in terms of the traditional public sector deficit, this was higher, as we mentioned. The original program had 0.65, and the final result was 1.25. However, as was highlighted, this compensates in the same magnitude by an adjustment in the financial intermediation item of the PSVR. So that moves the original program had a deficit of 0.2 percentage points of GDP, and at the end we have a surplus actually of 0.4 of GDP. Then in terms of Pidilera, the original program has Pidilera spending of 1.5 points of GDP, and only 0.8 points of GDP were spent. So you can say that most of the adjustments and the results of the PSVR can be explained by the lower investment in Pidilera. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could follow up with just one question, the private sector foreign debt as of the end of last year as a percentage of GDP, where would you put that?
One moment, please. Private sector debt, external debt, amounts to almost $56 billion.
Thank you, Victorina. Okay, so again, if someone has a question, please ask us a little bit. Mr. Goldman, JPMorgan. Go on, please.
Thank you very much, Andres Alonso. I'm still working at Morgan Stanley. Two questions. The first is the budget in the criteria established last December look to growth in the Mexican economy of 3% for this year. And I noticed in your comments this morning that, you know, there are still signs that the expansion has been fragile and is not uniform. And I was just wondering if you started today and being able to plot out 2003, what kind of growth assumptions would you work with, given what the information that you have as of today in early February? And the second was related to electricity reform. Just any thoughts? You know, we had seen an announcement from one of the key players in the ITP projects, saying that they were, you know, now on hold until there was progress on the reform front. And I was wondering what you thought the prospects were in the upcoming session of Congress. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, for your question. In terms of growth for next year, we still maintain our projection of growth at 3%. This means roughly Q-on-Q seasonally adjusted growth of around 0.5 in every quarter. And this is similar to the expansion of the Mexican economy during the second half of last year. So, I'm sorry, we think that it's very achievable. It's based on conservative assumptions regarding U.S. growth, for instance, which stands at 2.5. Obviously, there are risks. Those were mentioned in criterios. Probably the main risk abroad has to do with a higher or the more uncertainty regarding the developments in the Middle East. If oil prices maintain at these levels, obviously that will be bad for global growth. So there are risks on the context, but we still maintain our assumption of 3% growth. In terms of electricity reform, we don't think that there are any, you know, significant news that has arisen so far this year. We will, you know, wait and see. This is one item that we'll be discussing the next ordinary session of Congress. We've mentioned that it's, you know, the intention of the government to focus on those reforms that are still pending approval in Congress, which is not only the electricity bill, but also the recovery of collateral, la ley de garantías, which was already approved by the Senate, and it's pending approval in the Chamber of Deputies. So we will concentrate on those two in the next ordinary session, and hopefully we will have a very good, you know, good result. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Mr. Pablo Lima from Roman, okay, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for the call. Just trying to understand a little bit the sources of deteriorations of the Mexican peso. Just wondering, what is your appreciation for the last 2 months, particularly January, and what have net capital inflows to Mexico been, particularly in terms of switching of financing sources by the private sector, going back to local sources, and what is your forecast, you know, for the year based on what you have seen so far in January? Thank you.
Let me make some brief comments, Paul, and then pass the microphone to Mr. Garcia-Tamez. In terms of what we've, you know, in our view, the recent developments of the peso, and if you fact, you know, recent going back to April of last year, we have, you know, closely been following the euro-dollar exchange rate. And actually, what, you know, in our view, what's happening is sort of like a, you know, a composition of, recomposition of the global portfolio, because also if you look at the development of the peso-dollar exchange rate, they closely follow the euro-dollar, but they also closely follow the dollar-yen. So actually, you know, those currencies that have, are more closely associated with the major currencies, and that is the peso with the dollar, will have depreciated more against the euro and the yen. And, you know, those currencies that are more linked to the euro, for instance, have appreciated against the dollar. So, like those countries in Eastern Europe. So, we see that it's more driven by by those factors rather than anything else. In terms of what you mentioned regarding the substitution of external debt by domestic debt of some private firms, that's we agree completely with that. Last year, private firms issued around 50 billion pesos of certificados bursátiles, and with some evidence that we have, especially for those firms that are publicly traded in the Mexican stock market, is that they are using those proceeds to replace some external debt. So at the end, well, that can balance in terms of inflow. That has not constituted a pressure, for the peso to depreciate. Actually, the opposite. Now let me pass the microphone to Alonso.
By Andres, it has been argued that the Mexican peso is a leverage play on the US dollar, euro, being Mexico part of the North American bloc. What we have seen lately is an amazing relation between the evolution of the US dollar versus euro quotations and the peso dollar foreign exchange quotations also. That intense relation maybe is going beyond being a leverage play, and more like an automatic adjustment that is being done by the trading participants in the peso, which are just reflecting what is happening on the US dollar euro market to the peso dollar foreign exchange market. No, just on an automatic basis, the relation cannot be as intense and moving in a parallel way such as it has been as we have observed particularly in the last few weeks. No? That's all I would add to what Andre said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levy. Okay. Mr. David Franco from JP Morgan has a question. Go ahead, sir.
Well, this is not David, this is Alfredo from JP Morgan. Good morning, Andres and Alonso. One question that I have, given the volatility that probably we will see on the oil price, how is the allocation of the windfall going to play out? If you have a positive windfall in the first quarter, would that mean that you will allocate this 50% to infrastructure investment? And what would happen if then in the second half of the year the oil price comes closer to your forecast? And the second question is, if you can explain us a little bit more what is the message that Paco Gil wanted to deliver when he said that he would not use the FX reserve to intervene in the taxes.
Thank you, Alfredo. In terms of the oil price, with your first question, first, we published the quarterly breakdown of revenues in the official cassette at the end of last month, on December 31st, and that in oil revenues of the first quarter, those already incorporate part of the higher oil prices, because as you know, there is a lag of around 45 days between when we sell the oil proceeds and when the money enters the treasury. So we have more or less a good idea of what the oil-related revenues, at least for the federal government, during the first quarter of the year. Going forward, if oil prices stay at this level, we will have obviously a windfall during the last three quarters, and that, according to the budget decree, would be spent 50% in the states and municipalities in infrastructure projects, 25% would go to the oil stabilization fund, and 25% will be used to pay down debt. That, depending on what happens with the rest of the public sector revenue. On that front, we are pretty confident that we will be able to reach the goals incorporated in the income law. There is much more less uncertainty regarding tax revenues this year than was in 2002, because where we didn't know for sure the impact of the fiscal reform, as the results show that it was again significantly lower, we don't have that problem for 2003. So we see again tax revenues close to projection, and there is a good likelihood that we could have higher oil revenues if oil prices stay at the levels that they currently are. Now, Alonso will take the second question.
On the exact meaning of what Mr. Hill said, well, I think there's not much much to elaborate. As you know, foreign exchange policy decisions are taken by a commission, which is formed by the Ministry of Finance and the Central Bank. It is formed by three members of each, and the decision, the ultimate decision, and the vote, the policy vote, is in the Ministry of Finance. Mr. Hill was very clear that we won't intervene. We are on a floating exchange rate regime. No, this has worked very well for the last many years. No, and we will continue on that note. And what we are experiencing, or it's just the normal adjustments that that happen on the floating exchange rate market, no? and we will just live on the same policies that we have observed during the last years.
Andres, sorry to insist on it. If I'm right, and if in any quarter you have an excess oil revenues from what you have budgeted, you will allocate that to the free expenditure of if in the coming quarter you have lower oil revenues, does that mean that you will cut the budget?
No, the budget decree is not clear whether you have to do the adjustment on a quarterly basis or on a 6 month basis or on a yearly basis. Obviously you have to do it before the year ends, because we do not have all the results for the year until 2 months, in the start of the next fiscal year. So we have to do something within the year, but not necessarily on a quarterly basis. For instance, in 1998, we cut the budget as early as in January, because it was very clear that oil prices were significantly lower than the projection. The first quarter results will be ready by the first week of May. So depending on the results for the first quarter and the outlook for the rest of the year, we will decide whether to do, give the additional expenditure or not, and wait till the second quarter results. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Alfredo. Mr. Benito Guerra from IPA Global has a question. Go on, please.
Hi, good morning. My question is in regards to the external financial needs for 2003. Are they already met? And the second question is, should we expect a continuation of the Brady buyback program? And the second question is in regards to the, let's suppose, or after the new Congress is, after the elections of the Congress, is the Finance Ministry planning to propose fiscal reform? Thanks.
Thank you very much for the question. I will speak on the first two questions, and I will pass it to Andres on the third. On the external, on the needs for facing the maturities
of the current year. We will be facing maturities for an amount of $2.3 billion during 2003. These are market maturities that have to be paid. Since late last year, we started funding those needs. First by a transaction we conducted at mid-September, late September. Then by the reopening of the 30-year bond that was conducted during the third quarter, and which was an issue of $750 million. And finally, by the transaction we conducted at the beginning of this year, in January, this year, for a total amount of $2 billion, 10 years, that we issued, of which $500 million we used to buy back some grades. So, all in all, we have already funded all our needs for the market maturities that we will be facing during the year 2003. And we have started the program, the liability management program, going to, into your second question, that we are planning to continue conducting during the year. We will continue to implement some liability management transactions as long as they provide us with the net present value savings and that they improve the maturity structure of the external debt of the federal government. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, in terms of your last question, we have been very clear in every document, especially in our medium-term guidance in the Pronafide, that the fiscal reform approved in December of 2001 was incomplete, that we will push forward for the reform on the VAT. We need that reform. Whether we will submit that, well, we don't need to submit it because it's already in Congress. Whether we will push forward on that in September of this year, well, that will depend on the composition of the new Congress, so still it's too early to make a call. But definitely, it's something of top priority for this administration going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Mr. Humberto Santillana from IOP, go on,
yes, good morning. This is Jose Maria de la Torre from ING. I had one question with regards to the 20,000 million pesos that were appropriated from the FAR accounts. The question is whether at some point any Mexican authority, be it the Supreme Court of Justice or any other, can reverse that appropriation. And if that is the case, what is the preparations that the Ministry of Finance is doing to make up for the loss of those funds? Would that preparation be in the form of issuing more domestic debt, and how much more?
Yes, thank you very much for your question. Well, let me start by saying that these funds were deposited there on the Resar 92, no? And the beneficiaries of these funds have, despite of the efforts conducted by the government, have not been able to identify themselves, or the authorities have not been able to identify them as the owners of these resources. So these liabilities that were registered there as a direct liability of the federal government, and the resources that resulted from those liabilities, were changed into contingent liabilities. I mean, nobody that had any rights and that can claim that to have any rights towards these funds has lost it. So there is not any appropriation of funds. No, we are just changing the nature of the liability that we have registered. As I said, this was a direct liability for roughly 20 billion pesos, no, and it's now a contingent liability. From those 20 billion pesos, we have segregated 1 billion pesos to have it immediately available to face any claims that could arise from the unidentified beneficiaries. And the rest, if more than 1 billion pesos were required to face these obligations, would be honored by the federal government as any other contingent liability. No? So that would be my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Pequeverna. I repeat, if someone else has a question, please dial star followed by number 1. Mr. Canepa, I think that no one else has a question. Do you want to finish with your conference call?
Yes, thank you, Johnson. I want to thank everybody for attending the conference and look forward for the next quarterly call. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.